It's Eagles 360. I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro along with Glenn Mack. Now we're at the NovaCare Complex. Players in the building today going through their film study, kind of a light day because we've got a long week ahead here. We're going to look back at the Browns game still and marvel over a certain quarterback who played well and then look ahead to Chicago and Monday Night Football. And I'm going to begin by asking Glenn Mack now this very simple question.
Yes, Dave.
The kid's pretty good, isn't he?
Yeah, the kid's really good. The kid was outstanding. And here's the part that really surprised me. I like him. I like his size. I like his smarts, everything about it. But I figured it's going to take a long time for him to kind of command things. I know it was the Cleveland Browns. I know it's 1 week. I know there are bumps ahead. But you know what? He showed a readiness to play that I think surprised everybody. Maybe not everybody. Surprised me. And a big part of that, Dave, is you always hear like, oh, he's a Division II guy, one double A guy. That's going to take a while. I hadn't realized the offense he played in college probably prepared him so much more than a lot of Division I big-time guys who play the spread. He was ready.
No question about it. A lot of that is natural. A lot of that is his work ethic, and a lot of it's good coaching. And we talked about this all summer, that the Eagles really believe that having Doug Peterson, a former quarterback, and Frank Reich, a former quarterback, and John DeFilippo, a former quarterback, working with the young man, it would really help his development. And after one game, I mean, you can't escape the conclusion that, yes, it has helped him accelerate his development.
Yeah, absolutely so, ready to play, yeah. And it was great to see.
Anyway, so there's a lot of Carson Wentz reaction here and out there. How about within the locker room? We want to go back to Sunday. We went around the locker room after the 29-10 victory over the Cleveland Browns. And we asked the players, well, what did you think of number 11? Here's what they said.
It's not surprising because of us being and myself being around him for so long now and just knowing the maturity level that he has and the things that I was trying to get across to, you know, to the fans, to the media, that this is who he is. This is his DNA. And he really handled himself great all week long. He prepared like he was a 5-6 year veteran, and he obviously played that way, and just so happy for him and his family and the team. They're so excited to get this first win. But again, with Carson, how he handled himself from the maturity level was outstanding.
And to see a rookie come in and he enjoyed himself from day one when he got here. He knew what was in front of him and he just continued to get better. And he hasn't changed who he is. His makeup has been the same since he walked in the building.
It was unbelievable. I mean, the thing that everyone was kind of doubting us because, oh, it's a rookie quarterback, but we knew what we had in the building all along with Carson. He's a special, special player. He didn't play like a rookie today by any means. To go out there, your first start with pretty much 8 days' notice and to have no turnover speaks volumes about his play. He's extremely confident in his abilities. Not that he's cocky by any means, but no stage is too big for him. People think, oh, he's playing in Philadelphia from North Dakota. The stage is going to be way too big, but that's not the case by any means. He's very confident in his abilities, and he's very confident in us as well.
Carson came out, and he put the ball in a lot of great places where he had to. I mean, specifically, you know, my touchdown catch and Nelson's, I mean, you can't throw those any better. I mean, he's putting them right where they need to be. You know, he's waiting till you break leverage on the guy. And then, so even if he tries to recover, it's too late. You know, so that's all about timing, accuracy, and then poise. Not getting rattled when you say, okay, I got the matchup. Let me rush this ball out here. He's taking his drop, and he's putting the ball where it needs to be.
What really was really impressive is as a rookie, he had so much poise today. I think there's a lot of things that the defense did. They didn't hold back anything, obviously. They're coming after us in some blitz in some situations with some exotic stuff. And he didn't let that get to him. And I thought it was tremendous the way he handled the ups and downs of the game. Did a really good job for us.
So that is a look back, at least part one, of Sunday's win against the Browns. It gives the Eagles first place in the NFC East. We're going to talk about that a little bit later as we go around the NFC East. We've got Coach Doug Peterson in studio as well. But when we return to Eagles 360, Glenn Mack now's 5 takeaways from the win over the Browns. I'm interested, and you'll be interested, in what he has to say. We're coming right back.
Their legend is legendary. They've seen the end zone more often than any other duo in history. They are professional football player watchers. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity X1. Call or click today.
Remarkable things are happening at your local Acme. We're making changes and we're getting better every day. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood.
and fresher produce and hundreds of organics. To top it off, we're lowering thousands of prices throughout the store. So come on in and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Lower prices, great quality, and friendlier service. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
You say crazy, I say crafty. You say savage, I say practice. Crazy, crafty, savage, practice. Let's run that whole thing back. You say unbelievable, I say achievable. You say incredible, I say inevitable. Unbelievable, achievable, incredible, inevitable. Let's run that whole thing back. Carbs to compete, electrolytes to replenish.
Their legend is legendary. They've seen the end zone more often than any other duo in history. They are professional football player watchers. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity X1. Call or click today.
Welcome back. Eagles 360. Dave and Glenn here. Eagles 1-0 after that win over the Cleveland Browns. And Glenn Macnow has some observations for us.
All right. And only one is on Carson Wentz. This is the last time I'm going to talk about Wentz this game until probably Thursday. But nonetheless, here, this is the thing. Of everything that impressed me and much impressed me, he was 8-for-8 against the blitz. And that shows a lack of fear. It shows a preparedness. Last year, Eagles quarterbacks completed 51% of their passes against the blitz. I think 8-for-8 is 100%.
Could be right.
There you go.
Might even be more than 8-for-8 officially. Okay. I mean, people have been looking at this. Everybody's dissecting every part of it.
Yeah, I understand.
The point is, he was great against
the blitz. Great against the blitz. And again, a rookie quarterback with that kind of calm is great to see. Number two, here's the other obvious one. Doug Peterson had a great, great debut. And I will tell you that I was somebody who was a little skeptical of the hiring or the Eagles trying to create Andy Reid 2.0. He was in command. His clock management was good. But here was the Doug Peterson moment, I think, that really impressed everybody. It's 4th and 4 on Cleveland's 40-yard line in the third quarter. And this is the moment where a lot of guys are going to punt. You can take it away and win this one. They went for it. Wentz showed the headiness to complete that short pass to Ertz. Next play, 35-yard touchdown to Nelson Aguilar. That was the turning point, and that showed me a lot about the coach.
You know, I'm going to disagree with you slightly there, Glenn, because 4th and 4 from the 40-yard line against a really bad offense, that's kind of a spot where you're naturally going to go for it on 4th down. I agree that Doug Peterson called the game very well, but 4th and 4, I expect my coach to go for it. Now,
I want my coach to go for it. You know, so many of these guys in this league don't do that.
Here's what I will say. What impressed me in terms of just being the go-for-itness is the fact that he had Carson Wentz throwing the football over the middle of the field on that play.
All right, here we go. Number three, might we see an expanded role for Kenyon Barner? I like the fact that the coach used all four of his running backs. Kenyon Barner got 4 carries, got 48 yards, looked good out there. For a while, I've been saying, I think you're on this same plane as I am. This kid should get more of a role. He got his opportunity. He looked good. Ryan Matthews had 22 carries Sunday.
77 yards.
Yeah. I don't want Ryan Matthews to have 22 carries a game. That's not a formula I think you want to do throughout the year. If Kenyon Barner can work in 4 to 6 every week, to me, that's a good thing.
Yeah. And let me also say this. Having Wendell Smallwood active, he had a carry, he had a kickoff return, 4 running backs active on game day. That means Doug Peterson wants to run the football and is going to stick with it.
Yeah, used all 4.
Yep.
And a fullback.
Yep. Who would have known? Big Bo.
Bo Allen.
Yeah.
Athlete. All right, number 4. Dave, the best player that nobody noticed, or at least nobody's talking about from Sunday, is strong side linebacker Nigel Bradham. Played a really good game. And everybody's a little concerned about the linebackers this year. How is that going to play out? Bradham had 4 solo tackles. And the best part, he, along with Malcolm Jenkins, just shut down Gary Barnage, the Cleveland tight end who had burned them before, who had 1,000 yards last year, who we thought was going to be a big part of their offense. You know, there are other reasons their offense didn't work, including the quarterback. But that job by Nigel Bradham, I thought, was a terrific start for him.
And the last great strong side linebacker the Eagles had was?
Carlos Emmons.
Yeah, well done.
Carlos Emmons, yeah.
So those are five good takeaways.
That's
observations.
Four good takeaways. Oh, they're four. I got one more, pal.
Here Sorry. You go. I'm in such a rush to get you off.
Don't
the
get
here.
Rid of the special Sorry. Teams because the last one, Dave, sometimes it's the old guys that surprise okay. you. The oldest guy in the Eagles team is?
Donnie Jones.
Had an amazing game. A 72-yard punt, a 67-yard punt. Pinned him within the 10-yard line twice. Once at the one, he was perfecto, and he shares our haircut.
Right.
So I admire all of that about Donnie Jones. Great job.
And so that is five observations.
There's five.
From Glenn Macnow. Week one victory. See how happy everybody is after the Eagles win. Thank you very much, Glenn Macnow. When we return to Eagles 360, we have the head coach in studio, Doug Peterson, talking about what's ahead for the Eagles as they turn the page and get ready for Chicago on Monday Night Football. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Apple Vacations. Join Philadelphia Eagles players and alumni on Apple Vacations Beach Blitz in Mexico in 2017. Log on to applevacations.com/beachblitz for more details.
Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank. Just make one deposit, payment, withdrawal, or transfer each month to waive the monthly fee. And there's no minimum balance. You're all right. With Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank.
I step to Philly.
I step to Philly.
The bus.
The trolley.
The train.
Jefferson Station.
Airport line.
69th Street.
Broad Street.
To the game.
Paoli.
Sharon Hill.
Chestnut Hill.
Regional Rail.
I step to Philly. The Broad Street Line on game days.
A la bodega. To the movies.
To my parkway.
Spring Garden.
Late night.
West Philly.
South Philly.
North Philly!
Time now for our weekly one-on-one with head coach Doug Peterson, presented by Wawa. Doug, congratulations on the win on Sunday. I know that it's old news to you. It's a Tuesday here. The fans of Philadelphia are still talking about what happened on Sunday. Take us inside the mind of a coach. How long do you celebrate the win, and at what point did you turn your attention to Chicago?
Well, you know, you only get a few hours after the game when you get a chance to go home and relax and sort of watch the Sunday night games and the highlights of Sunday's activities and just kind of reflect back on the game. And, you know, you got 5 or 6 hours, and then you're right to sleep. And then the second you're up on a Monday morning, you're sort of focused on not only putting that game to bed, so to speak, but you're on to your next opponent. So with only a couple hours of enjoyment, and then you're on to the next opponent.
Did you celebrate?
I did not. I actually, yeah, my family's was in town, and I had a chance just to go home and just relax with them, and you know, watch highlights and eat some pizza, and then go to sleep and get up and do it the next day.
Did you or the kids social media? Hey, Dad, look what this guy's saying about this game, and look at this highlight, and what was it like?
You know, it was fun just to relax. You know, mm-hmm. just to kind of decompress. You know, because you're so keyed up all day, and get a chance to come and rest and just sit and just watch games and not really break down film, you know, and try to see what the defense or the offense is trying to do for you. But, you know, after that, it's, you know, you're trying to answer some text messages and some congratulations and things like that. And it's just a time to decompress and get geared up for the week.
All right, so you win the game, you go home, you relax, everything's great. You wake up the next morning and it's all about the Chicago. But literally you walk into NovaCare and it's all about Chicago?
Not quite. We still have to put the film and make the corrections so when we see the players the next time we're with them, we can make the corrections and move on. But, you know, we're putting that game to bed, you know, and we're sort of getting everything sort of laid out. So by Monday afternoon-ish, we are on to Chicago and on to our next opponent.
Doug, you know what it's like in this town when you win and when you're a quarterback and it's your first start and you're So what is Carson Wentz facing here, in your opinion, and what kind of advice do you have for him?
The biggest thing you can, the biggest trap you can fall into is everybody's going to pat you on the back, and they're going to, which rightfully so. I mean, you just won your first, you know, career NFL game, and you know, it was a great game by him. But at the same time, you got to just guard against being patted on the back too much and sort of believe in your own press clippings, because it's another set of circumstances, a different set of challenges the next week. And again, for players, they get a little more time to celebrate the win. But at the same time, when they come back in the building, you know, we're going to throw them a whole nother set of circumstances, and they got to refocus and regroup again.
Have you ever seen evidence at all from Carson that he's one of those players who believes in press clippings or pays attention to any of that stuff?
Not at all. Not at all. He's so focused on his job and just winning football games that the outside stuff doesn't matter to him. And, you know, to me, that's a sign of a normally about an 8 or 9 year, you know, quarterback in the National Football League, a veteran type guy. But this is a rookie quarterback that is mature and can really handle, I think, anything that comes his way. Nothing's too big for him. And he's one that's just going to be so focused on the next opponent.
Doug, I guess you really don't know about a team until you get into the regular season. So I guess the question as we look ahead to Chicago here is, how do you feel about the offense? How do you feel about what you accomplished on Sunday and what you're capable of doing moving forward?
I was very pleased with our performance. I thought both sides of the ball, offense and defensively, played very aggressive. We, you know, I challenge the guys each week. The offense and defensive lines is where you win and lose football games. Now, I know it takes 11 and I know it takes 3 units, but we have to play on both both sides of the line of scrimmage, and I thought our guys did that in this football game. And, you know, now it's just a matter of, again, regrouping, coming back together, focusing in one more time. You only get so many opportunities in this league. And, you know, again, the Chicago Bears, another challenge, and look forward to that upcoming game.
The wide receivers took a lot of heat in the summer. They come out in an opening game, and Jordan has a touchdown catch, and Nelson Agholor has a touchdown catch. Good game for them to build some confidence?
Great game. Great game to build confidence. Even after a couple, Jordan had a couple early drops in the football game, but bounced back and you know, 7 catches, 114 yards, a touchdown, and Nelson to do the things he did. Zach Ertz had a tremendous game. These guys have really worked hard. I see them every day coming to work, getting better, and it paid off for them Sunday.
Interesting that you had 4 backs up for the game and that you got all 4 backs some work.
Well, you know, it's running back by committee. Even though we, you know, Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles are going to get the majority of the work, you know, guys like Wendell and Kenyon that come in there and can give you some great minutes. Kenyon had some great explosive runs. Just helps that group stay healthy for an entire 16-game schedule.
Now, I got to tell you, Doug, I was talking with Brian Westbrook yesterday for Eagles 360, and we were talking about the offense. We thought it would be very similar to Andy Reid's offense, our recollection of it, and he kind of thought that there were a lot of differences. So for an Eagles fan who's a casual fan watching Game 1, remembering what it was like here when Andy Reid, were there a lot of differences, or did maybe you dress up a little differently? Or were they
well,
the same?
It's changed. I mean, it's changed. You adapt each year, number one, to your personnel. The way you do things over, you know, for me over the last 3 years with the guys we had in Kansas City and you know, it is similar. We're just sort of packaging things a little bit differently. You know, creating some more unique formations. You're seeing more bunch sets and cluster sets and, you know, 3 receiver sets. You saw from Cleveland the other day how they take linemen and spread them out all over the field, and any opportunity to give your team an advantage, that's what you're seeing. So the runs are all going to be the same. We're just packaging things a little bit differently.
Early in the week here, what do you know about the Chicago Bears?
Still a good football team. I know they had a tough loss against Houston. I watched them a little bit in preseason to sort of get a jump against them. You know, Coach Fox is going to have those guys ready to play. It's a Monday night game. It's at their place. You know, we're looking forward to the challenge. We just got to be able to handle the crowd noise and the national spotlight. This will be another big test, not only for our young quarterback, for our football team.
So what is the message for those who have not been in that national spotlight?
Well, you just have to, number one, you have to enjoy the moment. You don't get many of these national spotlight games like this, and it's for the whole world to see. And, you know, again, you got to control your emotions and go into it and just approach it the same way we did this week, this past week. And have a great week of practice, good week of preparation. And, you know, I think offensively, defensively, and special teams, as coaches, we keep it simple for the guys going into a hostile environment and just let them play.
One final thing about Sunday's win. Wasn't the crowd awesome at Lincoln Financial Field?
Dave, I got to tell you, the crowd was tremendous. They were there early, stayed late. They were loud. It was a great crowd, crowd, and it was a fun experience.
And there'll be a few in Chicago on Monday night.
There'll probably be a few
on
Monday night.
Yes, yes, Doug Peterson, thanks so much for joining us here in studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Golden outside or fluffy inside, deep pockets or delicious ridges, tasty egg or savory bacon. Experience Dunkin's new Belgian waffle breakfast sandwich. It's not this or that, it's all of it. America runs on Dunkin'.
You here to buy the tickets?
Hey, buddy, you here for the tickets?
Yeah.
Dude, what's the password, man?
Oh, Coach Shannon.
What were you thinking? We're doing like a CD ticket deal instead of going to NFL Ticket Exchange.
NFL Ticket Exchange. 100% verified, authentic tickets from one fan to the other.
We'll see you at the games, all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Appreciate you.
One discovery sparks another, lighting the way for amazing achievements at Jefferson's Vicki and Jack Farber Institute for Neuroscience. With our brightest minds focused on yours, we are pioneering new hope to prevent, treat, and cure brain and spine disorders. From the nation's first brain tumor removal to the region's first neuroscience hospital, look to us for breakthroughs that are light years ahead.
Introducing Dunkin's new cold brew coffee, steeped slowly in cold water for small batches with an ultra smooth, full-bodied flavor. Discover the craft of cold brew today and keep on. America runs on Dunkin'.
Time now to take a look around the NFC East, presented by Bob's Discount Furniture. We welcome you back, Dave and Glenn here. And the Eagles tied for the lead in the NFC East, something we expect to say for how long, Glenn?
Until they take the lead.
There we go.
Solo.
There we go. Way to go, buddy. All right, crazy little weekend for the NFC East. The games didn't go as we planned. Let's begin with the New York Giants, who go into Texas and steal one away from the Dallas Cowboys. Impressive performance from New York at a lot of levels. Victor Cruz is back.
Yeah, when you
combine him with Sterling Shepard and with Odell Beckham Jr., no doubt about it, the Giants' passing game, high octane.
Very high octane. I was surprised to see Cruz play that well after. It was his first game in 700 days, right? So you figure he's going to be a marginal player. He caught that touchdown pass. He looked good, very good doing it. I think Eli Manning is poised for a good year, and they protected him pretty well. Of course, the Cowboys, we'll get to the Cowboys. Their pass rush is terrible. Giants are going to be formidable in terms of this division.
Interesting philosophy defensively for the Giants, loading the box, forcing Dak Prescott to throw the football. They double-teamed Dez Bryant, limited him to one catch. Good job by Steve Spagnuolo and that new-look Giants defense, which brings us now to the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, fine.
Because last week, you were puffing your chest, oh, defiant Glenn Mack now. Oh, they put the Dak Prescott in. You were right. In Canton, Ohio.
Oh, already. Dak Prescott. He's all that.
And Dak Prescott was humbled a little bit here in game number one, as was Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, Ezekiel Elliott, that surprised me. I thought he was going to have a good day against the Giants defense. The Giants shut him down and did it very effectively. That was impressive by the Giants. Dak Prescott, as we had discussed, got so much publicity in the preseason. Look how ready he is. You know what? It's a little tougher when they scheme and they blitz and they send guys and they have formations that you don't expect and the thing moves a little bit faster. He played like a rookie quarterback. He wasn't bad, but he wasn't special. He played like a rookie quarterback. Here was my biggest surprise, Dave. That great vaunted Cowboys offensive line, those blocks of granite. Giants, whose pass rush was terrible last year, put pressure on them all day.
Yeah. Now, this week, Dallas plays Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Washington lost badly on Monday night to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Very interesting and telling game in the NFC East with the Redskins and the Cowboys. Two teams that we kind of figured would be better than they showed in week one. Washington looked awful on Monday night.
Washington looked awful on several levels. Their coaching looked terrible. And I'm watching John Gruden call the game with his brother, and he called out everybody except his brother. I thought they looked very unprepared, very unprofessional. That team didn't look ready for the opener. And the other things, we paid so much attention last year to how much Kirk Cousins improved. Those last 7-8 games last year, he was very good. I thought in the opener last night, he looked inept. He's not finding open receivers. He's missing throws. He's not running when he had a wide open field to run. Kirk Cousins played like the old Kirk Cousins, so we'll see who shows up down the road.
And defensively, they keep Josh Norman on one side of the field at cornerback. The Steelers put Antonio Brown on the other side of the field, and he has a huge game. Pittsburgh ran the football effectively. We'll see the Steelers in a couple of weeks here. They will be a formidable opponent at Lincoln Financial Field. But I guess my early takeaway here in the NFC East is that it's still anybody's ballgame.
My bold prediction that I gave you a few weeks ago is this whole division is going to finish within 3 games. I'm sticking with that.
That was all of last week ago.
Yes.
It seems like a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
it
was that last week. I guess it was. We started last week.
We're all of 1 week into the season.
What did we bet on that? Do you remember?
We don't think we bet. Everything's a bet with you? There's no bets.
There's always bets.
We're not allowed to bet in the NFL.
Oh, okay. There you go.
I got the Eagles for a sandwich.
Okay, that was it.
So that's our look around the NFC East presented by, of course, Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got more to get to here when we return with Eagles 360. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by McDonald's. Mix and match any two for just $2.50 on McDonald's McPick 2 menu. Choose from a McDouble, McChicken sandwich, 6-piece chicken McNuggets, or small fries. I'm loving it.
Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank. Just make one deposit, withdrawal, transfer, or payment each month to waive the monthly fee. And there's no minimum balance. You're all right with Simply Right Checking from Santander Bank. Are you feeling all right, baby?
Love me tender. No one's ever fallen 50% in love. Never. Or cared for somebody with only part of their heart. Love means you're all in. But not all alone. Lincoln Financial helps you provide for and protect your financial future. Because this is what you do for people you love. Talk to an advisor. Lincoln Financial. You're in charge.
The guy was a legend on the field.
He poured everything he had into this game.
You gotta wonder what he's doing on game day now.
Guys, cupcakes are ready.
Ooh, cupcakes?
Better game days call for better pizza.
Now get two medium, two-topping pizzas for just $6.99 each. Try our new cinnamon pull-aparts for just $6.
Better ingredients.
Better pizza.
Papa John's.
Our final segment here on Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Glenn Mack now. We've got a lot to look forward to. Our Amorosos on the menu. Look at what's ahead for you and this very long week of waiting for the Eagles and the Bears. Tomorrow we've got the old school All 22 look from Merrill Reese and Mike Quick, who were very excited on Sunday.
What do you think?
Animated, excited.
A little bit.
A good opening day.
Loved
our
it.
Our first look at the Chicago Bears with my host on Wednesday, Joe DeCamera, and quarterbacks coach John DeFilippo in studio with me. Here's a little tease of what John had to say, talking, of course, about Carson Wentz, who's a rookie, but who's acting like somebody a lot more experienced, and that is a good thing for this football team.
It makes it fun because you can have graduate level football conversations with this young man, and he's a rookie. And you know, normally you have that with guys in my past that I've coached, or the Carson Palmer type guys that have been in the league, 10, 11 years, that can have those types of conversations with you. Well, this kid's having those types of conversations with you, after his first game. So again, we just got to keep building. It's an everyday process, and just keep building and understand that there's going to be peaks and valleys at some point, probably this year. There's going to be many more peaks than valleys. But we just got to understand to keep take it one day at a time.
All right, so Glenn, this is a bit of hype here. There's a bit of mania in the town. Describe it for those who are outside of Philadelphia.
this town is so, so hungry. This town is so, so ready for success. And they got a little taste with Carson Wentz, with Doug Peterson, with this team last week, that it's going to have steamroll. It's going to be really exciting. And I know we're going to predict it later. It's a good chance this team could be 2-0.
Way, way premature here. But you've been around through the Randall days and the, you know, Jaworski days and Donovan. So your feelings after one game on Carson versus your early thoughts on those guys?
My feelings after one game is that he, and this is, again, surprises me, he is more ready to play from the beginning of his rookie years than those were. Listen, Donovan McNabb had a great career here. Randall Cunningham had a terrific career here, as did Ron Jaworski. It's going to take him a while to get there. But game one versus those two guys as rookies, Carson Wentz was more prepared.
Do you see how easy it was for me to get you to talk about him again? You said earlier in the show that you wouldn't talk about him until Thursday.
That's right. I'm done.
But all anybody wants to talk about is Carson Wentz, and that's fine with us. The kid was great on Sunday in his debut. That'll do it for us here on Eagles 360 on this Tuesday. For Glenn Macnow, I'm Dave Spadaro. He's back on Thursday. I'm back on Wednesday. Until then, have yourselves a great Eagles day.